This week on Dueling Review, we review Justice League Dark, annual number one from DC Comics. Swamp Thing takes center stage in this one-of-a-kind story that will change the green forever. After the fall of the Parliament of Trees, the Parliament of Flowers and its new guardian have risen. It's now up to Alex Holland to convince him to become a benevolent protector of the world. But little does he know, a foe from the past, the Floronic Man, is trying to sway the guardian as well. Which path will the King of Petals choose? The fate of mankind depends on it. All right, let us talk about Justice League Dark Annual Number 1. And I will say this right off the top, Matthew. Nothing says you need to read the new Books of Magic series like Justice League Dark, which screams at you, everything you knew about magic in the DCU is wrong, is different. If only the Books of Magic could save us.
I feel like we've read a story that wasn't Justice League Dark where we complained about another magic is broken storyline.
Yeah, that was the, I think it was the first or second, it was one of the issues in this Justice League Dark storyline that we read about a year ago when magic was getting broken and they were trying to figure out what was going on. And so it was kind of this big setup for them going and taking down things. But more importantly, this issue features Swamp Thing meeting with the new King of the Parliament of Flowers, or King of the Petals, I guess is his name. And him creating like flower children, these little golems that are made out of flowers and petals and leaves and the green and all this stuff. And they look real. And I could swear I have read a Swamp Thing story in the past that has a gimmick almost identical to this, where someone was creating a false child that was plants in order to assuage their sorrow. Do you ever remember reading something like that?
I actually remember a couple of things that sound similar to that. But for the life of me, I can't remember their specific locations. So I suppose that's a bummer.
I guess, or else the story really may have not been that good to begin with. It just, when I saw the King of Petals creating the child and then seeing the child going to his former wife, I was just like, wow, this feels super, super familiar to me. And maybe it wasn't a DC book. It could have come something from Image or some other place.
Well, I know that back in the 80s, probably about the time that we were going to college, there was a long and involved storyline where they were trying to find a new host for the next Swamp Thing incarnation. And it ended up with there being fake Swamp Things all over the place. And finally, Swamp Thing and Abby having a baby. And that's where Baby Tefe came from.
Yeah, that would be different from this. The other thing is, if you've never read an origin story of the Swamp Thing, you're kind of getting it here.
That's happening a lot. I don't know if you've been reading the JLD book proper.
No.
But the last issue that I read of that had not only an origin for Dr. Fate, but an origin for John Constantine. Going all the way back to the Casanova Club in Newcastle, which was, you know, kind of his formative craziness. So
I'm just comparing the similarities between the King of the Petals and how he burned himself up in chemicals and the creation of that, as well as that's the exact same thing that happened to good old Alec Holland.
Yeah, it also happened to Alex Olson back in 1908, and it's a recurring theme where Swamp Things are these creatures. It happened to Jason Floro.
Woodrue?
I can't remember his last name. Woodrue, thank you.
Yeah.
Floro from the Global Guardians.
Not the same as the Floronic Man.
Actually, it is, yes.
Oh, okay. Because that's who the big bad is here, is Woodrue. And I knew the minute that he made an appearance, I was like, oh, this can't end well. He's a bad guy. How can he be, you know, this emissary from the green or whatever that he's claiming to be, and then totally manipulates the King of Petals into making bad choices?
Yes, and this is a very retro Woodrue. This is a very Alan Moore circa 1985 Woodrue that we're seeing in these pages, which I'm totally down with, to be honest, but it feels weird in a, you know, a post-rebirth sort of world to realize that all these stories are now back in continuity. But until they say this explicitly happened and reference it, I never know which ones are or aren't, because I'm still thinking, you know, new 52 concepts. So,
well, I mean, they do have the, you know, they do have the the current look for all the characters, and they are making references to things that are going on in the main Justice League Dark storyline. So I would take this as all being in continuity with whatever's going on with Justice League Dark. But yeah, I get where you're coming from, and I kind of got that same feeling, and maybe that's why I had this sense that I've read this story before, because it does feel like that Alan Moore Swamp Thing that we've read both in the Major Spoilers podcast and back in our ukes.
Yeah, and I mean, that's really fine. I mean, that Alan Moore stuff is 35 years old now. Presenting it to new audiences or taking the concepts and, you know, representing them in new ways, that's perfectly legit. We've seen it 100 times, but I feel like maybe, and it could just be me, that somewhere along the line, somebody could have said, you know, why don't we just not retcon away 80% of our universe to tell these new stories?
Right.
No. That would never work. Also, I don't want to sound like that guy. I don't want to say something like I'm a purist.
which suddenly means you're going to sound like that guy and a purist.
I'm sure. I am in no way enamored of Swamp Thing's dreadlocks.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it either.
I don't care for this Swamp Thing design.
Yeah, and that's been a design that's been around for a while now.
Yeah, that I think that came around
a couple of years.
Right after the rebirth or during the rebirth even?
Yeah, it's been a couple of years, 4 or 5 years, I think. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, there's probably very good reasons for changing the design. And my guess is it's probably legal reasons.
Could be.
We can say, oh, so-and-so created Swamp Thing, but then
Len Wein and Bernie Wrightson, both of whom are no longer with us.
Somebody who, or an estate or somebody who could be saying, oh yes, but he created the likeness of Swamp Thing, or, you know, especially with Bernie Wrightson, when you look at his Frankenstein stuff.
Yeah,
a lot of his Frankenstein stuff looks a lot like Swamp Thing stuff in some of the characters and designs and whatnot. So I don't know. Maybe there is an issue with the art side of it, and that's why they had to change it. Or, you know, Superman lost his red trunks and now they're back. Maybe there just haven't been enough complaints or enough readers caring about Swamp Thing's new look to revert it back to the way it used to be.
I get it. You are not Leander Sorrell.
Did you like this story? Did this feel like it belonged in an annual?
It feels like it belongs in an annual in as much as classic 80s style DC annuals, with the exception of those closing pages that clearly tie it into Year of the Villain.
Right.
But I feel like, yeah, an old school, and by old school, I mean when we were kids, annual takes a story that would, you know, be a 3-issue arc or the equivalent of a 3-issue arc and gives it to you all at once on a summer Sunday afternoon so that you got something to read on that long car ride with mom or dad, you know, whatever you're looking at. I feel like this is solid in terms of an annual, except for those final pages. I feel like if we could, you know, if we had gone through this whole thing, Swamp Thing shows up, Woodrow shows up, it's a battle for the soul of Flower Boy.
Yeah, if
Flower
Thorn hadn't
Boy
shown
dies
up
at the end.
If Thorn hadn't shown up at the end.
Right.
Then yeah.
Cersei, sorry.
Then yeah, it would have totally felt like a good annual. And again, going back to that 80s Alan Moore, you know, blocks of text that we saw, there's definitely portions of that in this. In this issue as well, where we're reading from the diary of what's his name? Oppenheimer Oppelot or whatever his name is.
Oleander Sorrell.
That's his
now,
name.
Now, am I crazy or is Zatanna back in her new 52 uniform?
She might be. I just saw in that one panel, I wanted to ask our lady listeners and friends, would you just make a corset? And that's a tight corset on her. You make that an everyday thing? I mean, I could understand if it was a white vest, you know, like we've seen in some classic Zatanna look where it's not really a corset, but it's just like kind of a white vest that she's wearing over her leotard or whatever that she's got on. Mm. But man, a corset sure does look uncomfortable.
I have known people who wear corsets recreationally.
Well, but like but, not recreationally, I mean, like every day you get up, you put on your corset and you wear a corset all freaking day, every day. And that just seems uncomfortable, but maybe it's not. I mean, I'm not judging anyone. I'm just saying it looks uncomfortable and I can't see someone making that their everyday you know, 12-hour outfit.
If it's an Alan Moore-inspired book, they may be making a point that the corset has power because it hurts her, and she channels maybe that pain into her magic, yada, yada, yada.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, the magic is wrong, and we've got to get the books of magic straightened out first. So,
sure, magic's broken because you know what we need.
More magic.
We need new books of magic. I feel like the only thing that stands out to me as a really weird choice is the thing that's always stood out to me as a really weird choice in the new JL Dark, and that's the presence of Wonder Woman. I know why they're doing it. I know that in the strictest technical sense, Wonder Woman is in fact, you know, magic, a clay golem given life. Mm-hmm. I understand that Wonder Woman is a big name character, and Wonder Woman, Constantine, and Swamp Thing are basically the characters who are holding this mess together. They're the ones that people are like, oh, yeah, I've seen them on TV. I used to watch that cartoon when I was a kid. I'm talking about Swamp Thing. Wonder Woman was in a cartoon, too. I don't remember what it was all about. But I feel like the presence of Wonder Woman in these stories just always feels weird. You know, it's as though we're going to tell a story, and it's going to be the new Teen Titans, only instead of Cyborg, they have the Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, and since she's not really part of this story, I mean, she's just kind of this background character standing around. I can kind of just, you know, hand wave it away, just like, you know, Detective Chimp and Zatanna and all that stuff. I can just kind of hand wave that as, okay, this is the lead up, kind of making that transition from the series. So people who are reading the series and the annual have a little bit of a transition point. Then we get into the Swamp Thing story, and then it transitions out and then into the Year of the Villain stuff. Right. You can still remove all of that stuff talking about broken magic,
right,
and just have Constantine showing up and saying, hey, love and boop-de-doo, and who's got a kettle of water that I can put in my microwave? And Swamp Thing. And I think it would be fine. It would just be a fine, fine story. Now, yeah. Ingrid is over in our Discord channel, and she is saying, a well-fitting corset is comfortable, but you get tired of having super good posture all the time. Also, depending on how much bending you need to do, they can be a challenge.
There you go.
So, yeah. So I can't imagine. Zatanna's rib cage and structure has to be all messed up.
Well, she's magic. She may be able to create
a corset. It's a magical breathing corset.
It's a magical corset. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks super tight, but it's actually like, you know, sweatpants material. And it's super tough and dense, so it'll like deflect a bullet, but it's still just as comfortable as walking around the house. New Zatanna shapewear available in stores now.
What's that, dear listener? You're asking, you didn't know we have a Discord. Well, of course we have a Discord. Link in the show notes. Come over there and hang out with us. Chat away. Yeah. We do this stream live for our patrons. So if you're not a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers, what are you waiting for? Not only do you get access to a bunch of bonus content, but you also get access to secret Discord channels that you can come in and occasionally listen to some of our live shows, like Dueling Review, every Thursday night, 8 o'clock PM Central Time. So there you go.
Ding.
Art-wise, except for the Swamp Thing look and the corsets and occasional butt shots that seem inappropriate in places, what'd you think of the art?
I kind of like this art, and I feel like even if, you know, you're asking yourself, is that corset appropriate or does it hurt? It looks pretty good. This is something, you know, looking at this art style, I feel like it crosses the boundary and maybe ties together something like Bill Willingham's work on Fables when Mark Buckingham was drawing it.
Mm, yeah, maybe.
But it also ties it together with the Wildstorm stuff of the 90s.
Yeah.
So you have this weird kind of mixture of Jim Lee and maybe Rick Veitch that ends up feeling somewhere in the neighborhood of P. Craig Russell. And all of that is just to say, I kind of like it. And when we get to the really, you know, frilly, flowery, weird border stuff, I just love that. I don't know why, but I love the frilly, flowery, crazy borders showing us, you know, the Prince of Petals and his origin.
Yeah, King of
and
Petals.
And I feel like, yeah, I feel like the design of that character is fantabulous.
Yeah, it's also, I think, trying to channel a little bit, who was the artist on Starman?
Tony Moore?
I forget who. It kind of gets a little bit of that as well.
Tony Harris is the one who did Starman and then moved on to do Ex Machina.
Yeah. That's who it is then. Yeah. Tony Moore. A lot of that. I get a little feeling of that, especially when you get into the typewritten page and you've got the little tight column of typewriter text. And down at the bottom is the stylized typewriter that you're reading from. And yeah, it's good. I like the art. I guess bottom line for me is I think that this is a good kind of standalone issue. Although those of you who are not reading Justice League Dark are probably going to be scratching your heads on the intro and the outro of the story. But as far as, you know, Alec Holland Swamp Thing going down to wherever this place is, and we're getting a story about a man who is so distraught over the death of his son and his wife leaving him that he decides to immolate himself in a puddle of chemicals and then becomes the next king of petals for the green. I think that that's actually a fairly cool story. So if you want to spend $4.99 on this book, I say go pick it up. The story is solid. The art is good. You know, I don't have a whole lot of complaints about this book.
Yeah. My main complaint, and I think probably the biggest complaint that I have in many recent comics, is that some of this does seem very familiar if you've been reading comics for a while. And having this character, the Archduke of Amarelli, whatever his name is, the new guy, the friend of Flowers, having this guy in the same story as Jason Woodrue does really call attention to the fact that on a lot of levels, this guy is in fact a slightly less crazy Jason Woodrue. So I question that decision on maybe a story level, you know, structurally speaking. But even with that in play, I feel like it's a fun story. I feel like it works. The art is lovely. It's something that if I were, you know, 15 years old and I were walking into a store and there was this comic and it has a number one on the cover and I've never seen a Justice League Dark, I think reading this would be in no way terrible. I feel like you'd walk away from that going, maybe I want to know more about this Swamp Thing. Yeah. Maybe I want to know more about this detective chimp.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're going to get in this issue, though.
Well,
and
no,
I'm not even sure you're
going to look and see. You could go online and you can be like, hey, I
would recommend
the,
if you want the best detective chimp stories to go watch. What was it? The Batman Adventures or whatever it was on Batman Brave and the Bold. That's it. Those have the best detective chimp stories in them.
They also have the best Aquaman
and also the best Batmite stories as well.
And Diedrich Bader as Batman.
Yeah, there you go.
I think it's lovely.
So we landed on this week's comic because of you, dear listener, and you going over to patreon.com/majorspoilers and letting us know what comic you wanted us to read next week. In fact, I've got the complete list here and you have the complete list and it doesn't even cost you a thing. You just need to point your browser to patreon.com/majorspoilers. Look for the post that says dueling review for August 2019. And then look at the list of comics. Tell us which one you want to review. And if yours gets the most votes and the most recommendations, we might just review it on next week's episode. So let's take a look at some of the comics coming out next week from Boom Studios.
Right.
We have Buffy the Vampire Slayer number 7. We also have Over the Garden Wall, Soulful Symphonies number 1. That's based on the Cartoon Network series, right?
Yes.
We also have Ronin Island number 5 and Woods Yearbook Edition Trade Paperback Volume 2. Dark Horse Comics. I don't know what that is either, but it sounds cool. Dark Horse Comics has Berserker Unbound number 1, No One Left to Fight number 2 of 5.
My love for you
and
is like a truck berserker.
Let's see, what else do they have? They have a bunch of trade paperbacks, a couple of trade paperbacks, and also some Umbrella Academy merchandise landing at your comic book shop. DC Comics says Batman number 76. You know, this week was a fifth week. I want to stop that right here. This week was a fifth week, so that's why we're getting a lot of the annual books.
Right.
But DC, I think, had less than a dozen comics come out this week.
Weeks tend to be kind of light.
Well, let's look at next week. Not counting hardcovers, not counting reprints, here are all of the books coming out next week from DC Comics. Batman number 76, Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 number 4, Deceased number 4, Deathstroke 46, Doom Patrol Weight of the World number 2, Dreaming number 12, Green Lantern 10, Harley Quinn 64, Justice League 29, Lois Lane number 2, great series by the way. Sinestro Year of the Villain number 1, Superman Up in the Sky number 2, and that's it. That is the complete list. So that's 1, 2, 3,
12
4,
books.
12 books coming out next week.
12 books is, I don't know if I'd call that a light week necessarily.
I mean,
if you figure you get 12 books and you have a regular 4-week month, that's 48 monthly DC titles.
I'm going to skip ahead. Let's look at all the books coming out next week from Marvel Comics.
Okay.
Absolute. And again, just straight comics, not reprints, not trade paperbacks, not merchandise. Absolute Carnage number one.
Right.
Arrow number two. Yep. Agents of Atlas number one. Black Cat number three. Champions number eight. Cosmic Ghost Rider Destroys the Marvel History number six. The final issue there. Daredevil number nine. Dead Man Logan number 10. Mm-hmm. Future Foundation number one. Let's see. House of, what is it? It's House of X or House of 10? Which way are we
House
going on this?
X,
House of X number two. Immortal Hulk number 22. Invisible Woman number two. Major X number six. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That is a second printing there. But Major X, why did they have Major X number zero? That is not a, I guess it's just Major X number zero. So that is a new issue.
Right.
Marvel Comics number one. Oh, no, sorry. Not the, that's poster. A poster. Marvel, let's see, Old Man Quill number eight, Punisher number 14, Savage Avengers number four, Sensational Spider-Man Self-Improvement number one, Star Wars number 70, let's see, Thanos number three, War of the Realms number, that's a reprinted number six, but then, I think that's it. Those are all the comics that are not second or third or fourth printings and not posters. Not trade paperbacks coming out next week from Marvel. How many was that?
Unless I missed my count, that's 20.
Yeah. Now, DC has said, now, just to be fair, DC has said that they're not printing as many comics as they used to.
Right.
And that is kind of a push. And we see this being reflected in the monthly tabulations from Diamond.
Right.
Of what's being shipped in the direct market. But, you know, DC isn't... You know, DC isn't going to, you know, slip to number three or slip to number four or anything like that. They're still selling a crap ton of Batman comics.
Oh, yeah.
Deceased and Green Lanterns and all of that stuff. But I just find it really amazing that DC has really shrunk the number of books that they're releasing. And I'm hoping, and maybe this Justice League Dark Annual is kind of an indication. Maybe they're focusing on telling some very interesting stories and not so much on how much content can we get out the door.
Well, and you know, Marvel has for probably two decades now defined themselves by getting as much product as they can.
Yes.
50 and 60 and 75 books every single month.
I also think that is kind of dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, well, let's flood the market and destroy the competition because we will just release as much content as we possibly can and the rest won't be able to keep up and they will fall behind and suddenly we will be left as the, wait a minute, we're the only ones doing comics and now we can't keep up and we're suffering because we have no competition. Oh, no. It really runs that risk.
Yeah, it's a Wario plan. It's a really bad idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, we could go look and see what's coming out next week from Dynamite Entertainment or Dynamite Comics. Charlie's Angels versus the Bionic. Probably. Charlie's Angels versus the Bionic Woman number two. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark number eight. Kiss End number four. Obey Me number five. Final issue there. Vampirilla number one. A new Vampirilla series hitting the stores next week. IDW Publishing also very small, cutting back a lot on what they release. Dick Tracy Forever number four. My Little Pony Feats of Friendship number one. TMNT
they don't have
on
feats, they have hooves.
Well, I think they're talking about different kind of feats. TMNT ongoing number 95 gets a second printing, Transformers number 10, and Walter Simonson Star Wars Artist Edition hardcover, $125, but oh my gosh, Matthew, that's a good collection to have right there.
Oh,
especially,
yeah, absolutely.
Especially in those artist editions, I believe if they're doing it the same way as they did by Dave Stevens artist edition that I have.
Yep.
It is the size of the original art pages.
Yes.
So it's a big ass book. Yeah.
And Simonson pencils are fascinating in any case, but Simonson's work on Star Wars back in the day was, you know, pretty amazing given that, hey, this is one of Marvel's lower tier, you know, licensed titles
at the time.
Walt was just like, I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
can't wait. I'm not going to get it. It's $125. But if you do get your hands on this and you're a Star Wars and a Simonson fan, definitely grab that. Image Comics next week has Birthright 38, Coffin Bound number one. You know what one gravestone said to the other gravestone, Matthew?
No, tell me.
Is that you, Coffin?
Oh, I thought it was, I ain't saying she's a gold digger.
hey, one of your new favorite series is coming back next week, Die number six.
Die.
No, not die, just Die number six.
No, I'm going to buy three copies.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Image Firsts, a bunch of Image Firsts are coming out next week, all for a dollar. Dollar comics are always great. Kick-Ass number 16, Space Bandits number 2, Thumbs number 3 of 5, and Witchblade number 15. We've already run through the Marvel comics. Let's take a look at all the rest category. We've got amazing World War II stories. There's a bunch of different stuff. There's the Navajo Code Talkers, the Night Witches at War, Unbreakable, Zamperini. Those are all $8 books. Archie Married Life.
Zamperini, I believe, is what you use to clear the ice at a hockey game.
Yes, I'm sure that is. Archie's Married Life celebrates 10 years, where they're going back to Archie's married life, but looking at that 10 years after that series took place. So that's kind of neat.
I married Archie.
Yeah. Let's see. Cash and Carry Trade Paperback Volume 2, Summer Slews. If you are into a young adult detective comic series, Cash and Carry is always good. Comic for Flint, Hope One Shot. $4.99 there. Dark Age number 1. Dragon's Blood number 4. Final issue there. Fallen World number 4. Penultimate issue there. Grimm's Fairy Tales number 30. I think I've already got that on the advance review copies. Also, Lenore volume 3 number 1. And Sync number 10. Those are just some of the comics coming out next week from your favorite publishers. Well, here's what you need to do. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. In the post dueling review for August 7th, 2019, look at the complete list. Let us know what you want us to review. I will say again, because there's always somebody that does this, we don't review something that's already been reviewed, unless there's a mistake. We don't review trade paperbacks. So make sure you check a look at the site, take a look at the site to see what's already been previously reviewed, and take a look at the Major Spoilers podcast and other places where we review comics to see if it's been talked about there, because Manor Black was mentioned many, many times. And it was it's already been reviewed on the site, and as a mistake, it was also reviewed on the Major Spoilers podcast a couple of weeks ago. So take a look at that complete list over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. And Matthew, my guess is you have to be one of those paying members to be able to contribute to this.
Oh, contraire, mon frere. All you have to have is a Patreon account, and you can go to patreon.com/majorspoilers. You can throw in your 2 cents, and if it, you know, gangs up with another 2 cents and another 2 cents, eventually you might be able to buy your way. No, that's not how it works. No, I'm talking about opinions, metaphorically speaking. If you want to read, or you want to hear us read a book, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/majorspoilers. If you're there and you say, hey, look at this stuff that they're offering, do I want some of this stuff? And the answer is yes, you absolutely can become one of our Major Spoilers patrons, and we'd love to have you, but you don't have to be one just to vote.
Yeah, and hey, before we get out of here, I'm going to bring up a little side topics. Bonus. You guys get a bonus bits here.
Bonus.
Are you guys ready for some bonus bits in the Rob Liefeld Twitter category? Earlier today, Rob said, I've said it openly for a long time. I believe DC Comics will be licensed in the near very future. Maybe I'm wrong, but AT&T are a different entity. They have everything they need to plunder for future IP success. Now, without commentary on what he said, because I had a reaction that I responded to him with,
I did see that.
What do you think the subtext is for his statement? You know, to me, when I read that, I was like, oh, he's doing a dig at DC that they're not, that they don't know what they're doing. They're going to shut down. And because they're not doing well, AT&T is just going to, you know, sell off the licensing for those characters, whoever wants to print it, and serves DC right. Ha ha ha. Look at how bad they are. And
I don't work there anymore. Now I'm sad.
Well, no, I don't know if it was that, but that's kind of how I took it, is he's kind of making a dig at DC and not Marvel. And so I had to respond.
He's working at Marvel.
Well, I know, right? But I had to respond to him saying, hey, Marvel currently licenses characters to IDW Publishing. So why not DC too? You know, making this kind of a, hey, if Marvel's already doing it, must be okay for DC to do it. Where Liefeld's statement kind of made it sound like, oh yeah, DC's so bad off that they're just going to have to license their IPs in the future.
Right.
And if you don't believe me, go look and see some of IDW's publishing stuff. They've been doing a lot of those Marvel really kid-friendly superhero titles featuring Spider-Man and the Hulk and Black Panther and Iron Man and Captain Marvel and a whole bunch of other stuff. So
and the Avengers, and
yeah, that's
basically
fine.
Anybody that you see on TV or in the movies.
Yeah, in some way, IDW is licensing that, and I think they're doing a good job at licensing, you know, various other people's properties and combining them to make something really fantastic, like the Batman versus the Teenage Mutant, or not versus, but Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's a whole IDW DC team up. So
are you saying
kind of
that they're down
that.
With OPP?
Yeah, you know me. You know DC.
I do, too. So
I don't know. What are your reactions to that?
I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing business-wise, or even, you know, theoretically looking at it and going, oh, my God, they can't even make their own books in-house. How terrible. I think it's more interesting that Rob is willing to take pot shots at DC.
And that's what it felt like, as a pot shot. Maybe he didn't intend it that way.
Well, and that's true. I can't see into Rob's mind. And, you know, sometimes his writing isn't such that you know it. No, not going to be that guy. I'm going to be a nice guy. I will say this. I don't necessarily disagree with what he is saying, but I think that the underlying premise is out of date. I think it's still operating on kind of a 90s thought process, where that immediately means that somebody's in trouble.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, let's spread the wealth. Let's get these things going. Let's throw our books to the wind and see who makes the best one. And everybody gets cool comics to read.
Kind yeah. Of now, thing, if so. You are listening to Rumor Mill stuff, you know, there's been a lot of Rumor Mill stuff. And Rob is not too far off in the AT&T or different entities. They have everything they need to plunder for future IP success. You know, AT&T could just sell, and there's been rumors about AT&T just up and selling all of DC Comics.
Yeah.
And it's a rumor. It's unconfirmed. Don't go out and sell all your DC stock or your Warner Brothers stock or anything like that.
If they sold it to Disney?
I don't know if they would sell it to Disney. I don't know if we talked about this on a Major Spoilers podcast pre-show or in the show itself, or just, you know, other side conversations. Right. I could see Disney saying, you know what, we literally are going to own everything and want to acquire those properties, because I think they could look at something like Superman and look at their relationship, their past relationships with people like Brian Michael Bendis and some of the other writers currently working at DC and creators at DC who have worked in Marvel in the past, and say, yeah, we could actually make this work. We could make some of these other heroes and some of these other characters. And remember, Disney didn't buy Marvel for Captain America. Disney didn't buy Marvel for Spider-Man. Disney bought Marvel for the huge, deep list of characters and IPs properties that they had. They could do the very same thing with DC Comics, and they could reboot an entire DC universe with Blue Beetle, with Jaime Reyes, with The Question, and do the exact same thing and build up an entire Marvel Cinematic Universe at DC that way. My thinking is that maybe Amazon would buy DC.
That'd be interesting.
Because, well, you know, right now, Amazon Prime is competing with Hulu, and Hulu is owned now 100% by Disney.
Right.
And so if you had your own Amazon Prime streaming service
stuff. Put on your tinfoil hats, kids.
Yeah, no, I'm just, you know, if we're going to go jump into rumor mill category.
Oh,
then
sure.
I would think that Amazon would make a bid before Disney would.
Interesting.
But then again, at the same time, Disney doesn't have to do any speculation. Disney has proof that their $4 billion purchase of Marvel has already paid off, or their $1 billion purchase of Marvel has already paid off. They've made $18 billion just from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
There you go. Yeah, this is a story that keeps coming around and coming around. Back in the 80s, Dick Giordano, who was the editor-in-chief of DC, and Jim Shooter, who was the editor-in-chief of Marvel, have confirmed that there was at one point tentative plan for Marvel to take over the production of DC books and license the characters and produce them through Marvel.
Yes.
And I always think about that and go, what if that happened now?
Yes. I mean,
what if we got Marvel Comics Superman? You know, you think the Fantastic Four joining the MCU is freaky. What if you have Justice League join the MCU?
Yeah, that would be a big to-do. I'm sure there would be a lot of people just, you know, crying and whining and screaming and fist thumping and shouting up into the heavens.
You know what? If they did that, we could have the Amalgam Universe back.
I mean, we could have the Amalgam Universe back anyway. I'm not sure it would be very good, but
Hey.
It is something that could happen. Anyway, that's where we're going to wrap everything up this week. Thank you so much, everyone, for being a supporter of this show and everything that we do at Major Spoilers. And thank you, people, for hanging out there in the Dueling Review chat room while we're recording. Hopefully you are enjoying the show this week. And if you're not already a patron, what are you waiting for? Patreon.com/Major Spoilers is where you can go. A couple of bucks a month thrown our way can certainly keep this and all of the shows that we produce at Major Spoilers going. So thank you so much. And we will be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, unless, of course, it gets sold over to Amazon or Disney before then. And we'll be back next time when you will hear Matthew say...
I'm not going to say anything after that.
This podcast is copyright 2019 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.